Hello everyone! Welcome to Gospel in the Air, a 30-minute devotional program that will inspire and encourage your daily walk with Jesus. May I invite you to join me in this short devotional meditation. May you be enlightened with new insights for living as the Holy Spirit reveals His passion for humankind to be saved. That is, that no one should perish, but all will come to repentance. But before we begin our devotion, let's have a word of prayer. Let us pray. Most gracious God, Heavenly Father, I exalt your holy name. Thank you for this wonderful day. It's another blessing of life to spend with a full assurance of your provision. May you use this radio ministry as your instrument to accomplish what you have willed and purposed for the saving of many souls. Anoint your servant and convict the heart of anyone who happens to hear and listen to your words. It is always for your praise and glory, for reaching out to humanity for their salvation. And what a joy among your myriads of angels before your presence in heaven, just for one soul who would repent. Indeed, Lord, just for one soul, I earnestly pray to be saved today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Our devotional meditation is found in the book of John, chapter 6 and verse 35 of the New Testament, and it is entitled, Jesus as the Bread of Life. In 1864, one of the Christian missions in India was experiencing a crisis. The missions board therefore decided to send someone who could be of help. But instead of sending someone who is a seminary trained, they offered to send a civil engineer. Many were surprised and did not agree with the board's decision. Why send a civil engineer and not a seminary graduate? And then 13 years later, in 1877, there was a great famine, and his expertise as civil engineer earned him the appointment to oversee the construction of an unfinished project, the Buckingham Canal, in order to help people affected by famine. As a result of this, he hired thousands of starving Indians and so provided them wages and means for their sustenance. Because of his friendly contact with them, he was able to distribute Bibles and preach them about Christ as the bread of life. As a result, there were nearly 9,000 who were baptized and committed their lives by faith to the Lord. Jesus fed 5,000 men near Bethsaida, that is north of the Sea of Galilee. After teaching them that day, it was already too late in the afternoon for the crowd to go home, and Jesus was so concerned that they haven't eaten yet. He called his disciples and asked one of them, where can they buy food for the people? But he was told that it would be impossible to feed such a large crowd, because feeding is one of them would take more than a half a year's wages. Accordingly, a worker's daily pay at that time was 1 denarius, which is equivalent to around $20 today. That means feeding such a large crowd is inconceivable. In our world today, that means that it would cost them around $100,000 with a budget of $20 per person. And this computation does not even include women and children who were also present in this gathering. In other words, this is not a joke. Even considering there were bakery stores available at the time, how could they afford such a huge amount of money involved in the situation? Such a suggestion of the Lord is unthinkable for any person on his right mind, and probably they were shaking their heads in disbelief. Indeed, disbelief comes into grip when one is clouded with doubt and reservation. And probably, you have been in this situation too once in your life. You don't know where to get the money to pay your bills and your rent or your college tuition. You are laid off, and bills will soon be due. But in this story, the Lord asked them to go and see what they can find. This is not a suggestion, but a direct command. Go and see. This is a test of what living faith is all about. It is obeying the heavenly directives and accepting the provision of God even though we don't understand or how strange they are. And the disciples, in turn, despite their lingering doubts, they obediently complied and they started searching among the crowd, expecting to find as much bread as they could. But to their dismay, they found but only 5 small barley loaves and 2 fish found from an expected candidate from a small boy's lunchbox. How strange indeed, how God provides our needs. They all come in small pieces, and they usually come unexpectedly. And in this story, they found 3 small things, 5 small loaves of bread, and 2 small fish from a small boy. This event in the early ministry of Jesus echoes resoundingly the testimony of what living faith is. A living faith is to accept the provision of God, no matter how strange it is, or we don't even understand it. It is to trust God completely, whatever be the circumstances, or whatever be the consequences. And because of our human frailty, we often fall short in this regard. Oftentimes, we do things on our own effort, and we depend on our human capacity, and as a result, we always fail. But despite our lack of faith, God is always gracious and abounding in love. He is always there to sustain us and to provide our daily needs. No wonder one of the disciples, who also had some doubts, asked the Lord, "Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how far will they go among so many?" John 6:9. In other words, how can you feed such a huge crowd of more than 5,000 people with 5 small loaves of bread and 2 fish? I cannot blame the disciple for having doubted his master, because I am sure even you, including myself, would do the same. We allow ourselves to be entertained with magic, but not to this extent. This is something unbelievable for anyone to perform. Only a supernatural intervention could make this happen. In short, only a miracle could do. Somehow, the disciples didn't argue with the Lord, but obediently followed his instruction, even though how strange to them what was going on, because at this time, they have not yet fully known the Lord. It was only after his resurrection, when the Holy Spirit came upon them, that their knowledge and understanding about the Lord was fully revealed. Yet, through it all, it was their incipient faith or their growing faith in him that made them to believe on what the Lord can do. So despite being hard for them to understand what they were doing by grouping the people into 50s and letting them sit on the ground, they just did it anyway because this is what the Lord commanded them to do. It was all but an act of faith on their part to obey the Lord despite their lack of understanding. Taking the 5 loaves of small barley bread and 2 fish, the Lord lifted up his head towards heaven. He gave thanks and blessed them. And after that, he broke them and gave them to his disciples to be distributed to the people. They all ate and were all satisfied, and there were 12 baskets full of broken pieces that were left over. I cannot picture in my mind how the disciples reacted after witnessing this miracle. I am sure everyone was dumbfounded and cannot say any word, but all in awe. How could Jesus do this unless he is no ordinary human being, one who is not from this planet? And their faith in him continues to grow every day as they mingle with him and witness the other miracles he performed. This is all but an act of faith by the disciples of Jesus. It was human impossibility to feed such a huge crowd with only 5 small loaves of bread and 2 small fish. But the disciples still obeyed the Lord, no matter what the consequences were. The story of Jesus' miracle of feeding the 5,000 is a testimony of what the Lord can do to those who put their trust in him in the midst of uncertainty. It teaches us not to doubt and to be overcome by fear, but to have faith in God. There is nothing too small for him that he cannot do for our own good if we obey his divine directives. It is all a matter of faith, an act of faith that is required of us if we want to see the miracles of the Lord for our lives. He can use all means, even the least and insignificant things, for our blessing. We cannot underestimate God for what he can do. He is beyond his space and time to provide for his children for their everyday needs. What the Lord requires is to accept his provision and not to doubt, but to have faith even if we don't understand it. Look what happened to those small things that the Lord blessed and turned to feed a huge crowd. There were even leftovers. This is how the Lord will bless his children, who never give up on their faith, but who completely put their trust in him in the midst of adversity. Our Lord never changes, and what he assured to his disciples when he was still with them during his earthly ministry is also true today and forever. His words are true and will always be true. And if you are one among those who is heavily burdened right now, his promise is this: come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Matthew 11:28-30. Claim that promise of the Lord, and you will find peace, a peace that the world cannot offer, but only a heavenly peace. Are you worried? Covering with fear because of crisis and the future, it seems gloomy to you? Have faith in God. Give your complete trust in the Lord, no matter your circumstances are. His promise is always true. He will not leave you or forsake you, but you will find rest on him. After this miracle, the news spread like a wildfire, and the people from all walks of life were looking for him. And when they found the Lord, he confronted them by saying, "You are looking for me not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and you had your fill." John 6:26. No one can hide before God, especially with our motives. He knows what's in our heart, and we cannot hide from him. The prophet Isaiah confirms this truth about God when he told him, saying, "These are the ones I look on with favor, those who are humble and contrite in spirit, and who tremble at my word. Isaiah 66:2. In our story, people wanted him for more. They experienced firsthand miracle how Jesus provided and satisfied their physical hunger. Here is a man who can make wonders. Why don't we make him our king to free us from our suffering? This is always expected of the human nature when people receive benefit from political favor. They tend to elect someone whom they think would address their misery. This is mundane, and this is not of God. But Jesus took this occasion to teach them about himself as the true bread. He taught them by saying, "Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For in him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." John 6:27. People around did not understand him. What they wanted was a political leader, a human king who could satisfy their needs and not something else related to spiritual thing. It would have been the largest and the biggest mega church in human history had Jesus consented to their wishes. Jesus would have attracted a breadline Christians who follow him only to get food. I hope and pray this is not the case today. People are lining up to go to churches because of a different purpose or a different motive. We cannot compromise the truth. Jesus said, "I come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." John 10:10. The Lord is not talking here about prosperity gospel, but the gospel of salvation. He emphatically announced with authority before the crowd about himself when he said, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." John 6:35. This is a confirmation of his deity in human flesh. Jesus cannot claim this unless he is God. In short, Jesus is the solution to all their problems and to all our problems today. He does not only give the bread of life. He himself is the bread of life. It is a declaration that if you have not yet committed your life to him by faith, and you want to accept him now as your Lord and Savior, you will find real satisfaction for your deepest hunger and thirst. But in our story, how sad for people missing the greatest opportunity of their salvation. They miss out the greatest gift of eternal life by rejecting to accept what he is offering to them. At this point in his ministry, the Bible says that many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. John 6:66. One of the writings of St. Paul to the Christians in Thessalonica is this. He exhorted them against idleness. He exhorted them to work hard with their own hands in order that they eat their own bread. 2 Thessalonians 3:12. However, This issue is about balancing our priorities. There is nothing wrong with industry and hard work. They are recognized and well-honored Christian values. But it must be emphasized that working for food is not to be our top priority. In the parable of the rich fool, which is found in Luke 12:13-21, it reminds us not to keep accumulating to fill our barns or warehouse just so we can relax with the hedonistic practice of eating, drinking, and merrymaking. Our life is fragile and too short to live by. Moses, in his prayer, attests this truth by saying, Our days may come to 70 years or 80 if our strength endures, and then we fly away. Psalms 90 verse 10. Jesus knows that the life of this present world can be snatched away any moment. So why should we focus on what will not last? So our Lord challenges not only the people during his days who would become his followers, but more so for us today to focus on securing the food that endures to eternal life. In his response to Satan's challenge, by turning stones into bread, he said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Matthew 4:4. Jesus continued teaching the crowd by saying, "Do not work for food that is spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For in him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." John 6:27. I like this verse about God giving his seal of approval. It means we must believe him, accept him, and submit to him because he carries heaven's own seal of approval. In like manner, the documents you submitted to the immigration for your change of status were accepted and approved without further question because they have been sealed and attested by the Office of the Department of Foreign Affairs of the country where you came from. This is what it means when Jesus carries heaven's seal of approval. There is no other name and person where one can be saved except through Jesus Christ himself. What more can we ask but to believe and have faith in him? His words are eternal life. But sometimes we doubt him and we don't trust him, especially when our faith is being challenged. Then we start to worry so much and we cannot concentrate and cannot even sleep. We are bombarded with many problems. Some would even take their lives because they cannot withstand anymore the pressures of life. Their morale will sink to the lowest level until all hope is gone. There are so many pressures of life, but that does not stop us from trusting God and to continue with our walk with him. God's provision may come in ways we don't understand and even is strange, but we must accept them without question, whatever be the circumstances or whatever be the consequences. It does not change, and it will always be the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, that Jesus is our living bread. He is heaven's seal of approval for our salvation and hope for this life and the life to come. During the Second World War, the Germans captured St. Petersburg, Russia, in 1941 to 1944. The report said that they cut all supplies of food, causing great hunger among the people. As a result of this crisis, people resorted to all means of survival in order for them to live. Some accordingly made soup from wallpaper and from shoe leather. Others even tried baking bread with sawdust and cardboard. Even their pets were not spared. Some even resorted to cannibalism. That's a fact of life. It happened then, and it will happen again if we are not cautious with the way we live. But in the spiritual realm, we are at war with the enemy, who is Satan. As professing followers of our Lord, we are under siege by an endless attack by the dark spiritual powers. As a result of this spiritual warfare, we try to satisfy our spiritual hunger and thirst with our own creation, such as worldly ambitions, positions and status, accumulation of wealth, careers and achievements can be like shoe leather soup that are short-lived but does not satisfy our real needs but pulls us farther to crave for more. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." We cannot put on a smiling face and try to pretend that we are living comfortably in a sick world. It is high time that we should focus our life on our walk with Jesus. The road to eternal life is a narrow road. Why don't you join me in this journey by inviting you to commit your life to Jesus Christ by faith? My friend, I urge you to make your decision now. Time is running out. He is coming soon and is now very near. May you not delay. Welcome Jesus in your heart right now. It is my prayer that you've been blessed today. Tune into this program, Gospel in the Air, every Sunday from 7:30 to 8 o'clock in the morning. Gospel in the Air is a radio devotional ministry of Cornerstone Christian Church. If you want to know more about our lesson today, or you want to request for more in-depth study about the Word of God, please call or send your text message to this number, 808-463-8859. Or you can visit our website at www.cornerstonemaui.org. Again, this is your host, Brother Danny Marantan Bango, saying, keep punching the good fight of faith. Mahalo.
There's a peace I've come to know. Though my heart and flesh may fail, there's an anchor for my soul. I can say it is well. Jesus has overcome, and the grave is overwhelmed. The victory is won. There's a day that's drawing near, when this darkness breaks to light, and the shadows disappear, and my faith shall be my eyes. Jesus has overcome, and the grave is over.